Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome in, everyone, to Redacted on this Taco Tuesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And this is the show where we try to hold powerful people to account and cover the stories you might not see other places. We are journalists, longtime journalists. I think a combined, if we add up that, I mean, I'm like 23 years as a journalist. You're what?
I'm only 23 years old.
So yeah, right. So combined 100 years. No, we spent many, many years in the belly of the beast. And on this show, we really try to cover those big stories that, again, to try to provide a perspective that that you're not going to see in the mainstream media. And coming up on today's show, we are going to be covering what's happening in Ukraine and the very latest there. So tensions are ratcheting up in that region, specifically in the UK, where we have the a big general in the UK basically saying, hey, I'm getting all my troops ready for World War III. We're doing World War III games right now.
Those are not comforting words, right? Mm-hmm. And the war on energy continues. And since all Western leaders are putting sanctions on gas, there is now a turn to coal. Is that progress?
And we're going to be looking at the latest with inflation and Biden's recession. He, of course, was on vacation. He was asked about the recession, the potential for a recession. He said, no, don't worry about it. I'm just going to go get some ice cream. Nothing to see here. So we'll cover the recessionary news.
What rhymes with recession? Secession. Yes, we're going to play a rhyme game. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of the liberal media is sort of making fun of the Texas GOP for this new statement, which calls for Texas to vote to secede from the United States. I actually don't think it's funny. I would like to, for nothing else, do an exercise in, what do you call it? Like a thought experiment on what if this happens. So we're going to go through this manifesto.
Okay. Yes. So we're going to look at all of that and more as Redacted begins on this Tuesday night. Roll it.
Welcome back to Redacted. We're glad that you're here. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, welcome in on this Tuesday. It's so glad to have you all here, wherever you are. Remember, it's very, very important as you're watching us to click on that little like button, because as you're watching us live, whatever platform you're on, whether on your Rumble, on Facebook, on YouTube, you're watching us on your Apple TV, your Roku device, whatever, just you click that little like button. It actually pushes us further out in the algorithm and gets us in the eyeballs of more people, because people, and I read your comments all the time, all day long. I look at comments and people are saying, like, thank you guys so much for sharing the truth. We don't get this in our, you know, in
yes.
our mainstream media.
Yeah, so. We are, like you, lifetime learners, avid readers, and we're always trying to look at a different angle than the way that it's things are covered in the mainstream media with humility. So, you know, we don't know what we don't know. That's my dad's favorite saying. And we're always trying to find out.
That's right. We have a website, too. We should tell everyone about our website. It's a place where you can go and become a member for free. It's outside of the big tech, you know, companies. So we built our own place where you should go and subscribe. Just go to redacted.inc. And over there, we do all sorts of exclusive content. We give you access early if you become a channel member over there for as little as like $4 a month or something like that. If you want to support us, that you don't have to, you can do it for free. But if you'd like to support, just sort of, it's like our version of Patreon, but we don't use Patreon. We don't use PayPal because they like to ban people. They like to censor people. So we use our own. So you can come on over there and we give you access to exclusive content early. And what else? What else do we have over there?
Yes, because there are plenty of things that we would love to talk about, and we are not antagonistic people, but the platform on which we speak, yes, he's antagonistic.
Am I antagonistic? All right, Philip will have tiebreaker here. Philip, am I antagonistic? He
easy. Are you challenging me?
Yes.
Come on. This is an easy one.
Yes.
I am not an antagonistic person, mostly.
Right. On this show, off the show. By the way, we're married, so if you wonder.
Yes, so we can chide each other.
Absolutely
this way.
Antagonistic. But
anyway, the point I was trying to make, I'll come back around, is that the things that we are allowed to talk about continue to shrink on these platforms. So we continue to look for other platforms where we can ask questions. It is not our intent to, you know, again, be antagonistic, but it is very disturbing about the spectrum of things as it continues to get smaller that we are allowed.
We should just pull the wool back a little bit. Like today we're working on a Texas story, right? You're going to be diving deeper into this Texas story about their new platform, the GOP platform in Texas. And just the other day, the coverage of the January 6th committee was actually banned on YouTube.
It's a Senate hearing. And so the idea, it's public for a reason. It is a bit of a dog and pony show, but we should be able to watch if we so choose, right? And so why are we not allowed to see these things? We are going to not specifically talk about that when we talk about the Texas, because I think there's bigger pieces to it than
right.
just that.
So the point is, like, just saying certain little phrases, like, this is how it works in, you know, with these big tech company algorithms, just like saying certain phrases can get you, and then you try to fight it and you're, you know.
Anyway. So let's be careful. Let's tread lightly, and we're going to get to the news.
Today. Yeah. All right. Let's start with what's going on today in Ukraine. The United Kingdom is getting ready for World War III. We're entering a dangerous territory where red lines are drawn. Both sides are now digging in their heels. And I think almost kind of feels like, you know, you start out playing chess, you've got a lot of pieces.
Sure.
Now there's a lot of pieces missing from the board. That's kind of how I feel like now we're getting close to checkmate, right? And so people are being cornered. Someone's done their tower moves. You don't know anything about chess.
Nothing
you
know. This
yeah,
is
someone
not,
just did a castle. Yes. Someone just did a castling move. You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
Nope.
Someone jumped on the mushroom and the Koopa Troopa.
Okay.
Now am I getting close to you? Like,
I read the book,
Bullet,
The Queen's
Bullet
Gambit.
Bill.
And
yeah.
I don't.
But it's getting close. It's getting really close. And a UK general is now readying his troops for World War III. So here is the Daily Mail piece today. Britain's top army general has told his troops to prepare for a fight to beat Putin's armies in a European land war. It has emerged tonight. General Patrick.
Okay, but wait, let me just remind said person, you left Europe. So how come they, you know, if you're a general in the UK, but you can wage war in Europe, even though there was Brexit, like, I object to this, but okay.
No, you're
going to,
there's going to be a theme in today's show, which is there's a lot of flip-flopping back and forth. Like,
yeah.
Well, we really, you know, we really hate fossil fuels, but now we really need them.
We're going to leave Europe. But if there's a war, we're going to get back in, right? We're all about it, or wage one ourselves.
Right. So there's a lot of whataboutism, like what we, you know.
I don't think that's whataboutism. It's like, you left this party. You cannot come back and decide what's served at the dinner.
It's kind of like breaking up with someone and then like thinking like, well, maybe that would have worked out. And then kind of going back to that person.
I don't know. I don't think your analogies are firing tonight, but maybe stop them and keep going back to the news.
You want to go back to chess now?
No.
So General Sir Patrick Sanders, not Colonel Sanders, you might know as your favorite chicken place. General Sir Patrick Sanders, who is the general in the British Army, assumed overall command of the British Army this week. So he's a big guy. He's a head honcho. He's warning soldiers that, quote, we are the generation that must prepare the army to fight in Europe once again as Russia's invasion of Ukraine rocks global stability. This is what the Daily Mail piece continues to say. It says, in a tub-thumping message to British troops, he wrote, I am the first chief of the general staff since 1941 to take command of the army in the shadow of a land war in Europe involving a continental power. The scale of the enduring threat from Russia shows that we've entered a new era of insecurity. It's my singular duty to make our army as lethal and effective as it can be. The time is now. And the opportunity is ours to seize. Almost like I'm listening to like Patton, like the famous Patton speech or something like that. I mean, that's what it kind of sounds like here. Like, so General Sir Patrick Sanders, not the chicken guy, has warned his troops to prepare to fight and beat Putin's armies in a European land war. Why this talk of World War III? What happened in the past few days to ratchet things up? Well, Lithuania happened. As my son was saying earlier, Lithuania happened. So all things hinge around Lithuania right now. So why Lithuania? Well, this small Baltic country of Lithuania started blocking rail shipments from the Russian state, or the Russian city of Kaliningrad into Russia. They have to go through Lithuania. So let's take a look at a map to provide some context here and some history. So this is a map to take a look at and get some context here. If you're not really familiar with Kaliningrad, it used to be called Königsberg. Which yes, is one of my favorite, you know. Well, one of my favorite beers in Germany, by the way, is Königsdunkel.
Yes, which that's is a not the same.
King's Dark. So this used to be a German city, of course. During the Potsdam Agreement, it was then said, "Hey, you're done in Germany. Now you're a Russian city, Soviet city. 95% Soviet or Russian speaking there. There's almost no German speakers in all of Kaliningrad anymore. Anyway, it is a Russian city. It is a major port area for Russia." And very, very important. So here's my little map that I drew with my little red pen. And on this little red map, you can see that's the rail line. Those are rail lines there on this map. So the connection between Kaliningrad into Russia, those connections are very, very important. It's a very, very important, okay? And this, if we also look at the new Silk Road, we've talked about this here on the show before. Yes. Under China's Belt and Road Initiative, right? So take a look at this built... rail lines that started construction about 4 years ago meant to, they start in Kaliningrad, basically, then avoid the busier border between Poland and Belarus at Brest. The freight trains go 9,000 kilometers all the way into China, right, through Lithuania. They continue on the Trans-Siberian Railway through Belarus, Russia, Kazakhstan, all the way through, right, all the way to China. Incredibly important. In fact, Germany has basically been relying on all of these rail routes. Even DHL, which has been, you know, headquartered in Germany, has been able to cut down transportation times into China with all of their distribution through these rail lines. So Europe taking advantage of these rail lines as well. So cutting off these rail lines is incredibly important. Here's the Mirror UK and what they say about World War III. The UK will physically cease to exist if the new standoff in Lithuania triggers a nuclear World War III, warned a retired Russian general and military expert. He told Russian state TV, the West is playing with fire and blockading Russian enclave Kaliningrad to prevent sanctioned goods reaching the territory via NATO state Lithuania. And then he lashed out at this British general, Sir Patrick Sanders, not the chicken guy, who took command of the UK's land forces this week with a rallying call to troops to prepare to fight and beat Russian forces in World War III. So it's a lot of chest thumping and back and forth right now, but they're not playing around. And this is very serious, deadly serious. Like for those people who might be watching thinking, nah, these guys just talk all the time. The same kind of talk unfolded at the beginning of World War II.
Yes.
Right? So he says in this mirror piece says this, he doesn't understand that as a result of the Third World War, Britain will physically cease to exist, he says. The island will vanish. So I have no idea where he or his descendants will live. Russia's saying, we're going to wipe this island away. Britain, you will be gone. So, I mean, not something to lightly talk
about.
No,
these are not words that you just say, right?
Right.
A land war, which again, it's a stretch of the imagination to figure out what that would even look like anymore, because which landmass, using which types of weapons, remote or drone. It does feel like we don't have an idea of what this will even be, but military experts do, right? And they feel comfortable throwing these words around, even though sentiment inside Europe and the West is decreasing for this type of conflict.
Patrick Lancaster today, who we're fans of here, he's done a great job covering the Donbas region. He's questioning, hey, did HIMARS weapons that NATO has sent, the U.S. has sent to Ukraine, were they used to attack and hit inside the region that he's covering? Imagine that now.
Well, because most Western media, I've counted it up, the Associated Press, Reuters, Wall Street Journal, NBC News are all saying that Ukraine is attacking inside these separatist regions now. That is something we have been reporting for a long time, and the Western media has been loath to do.
Or saying it's a conspiracy theory.
Right, but right. Now all Western media agrees that this is happening, and they sort of frame it around, well, we lost it to Russia, so now we're fighting to get it back, right?
So back to Lithuania, why this is so important. I want to provide some historical context here. So now Lithuania is appearing to pass the buck over to the EU and NATO, basically saying we had nothing to do with this. It's the EU's fault. They have these sanctions and they're making us do it. So here's the Financial Times up on your screen. Nikolai Petrushev, Russia's Security Council secretary and one of President Vladimir Putin's closest confidants, said during a trip to Kaliningrad on Tuesday that Russia would react to such hostile actions after Lithuania began enforcing the sanctions. Petrushev said appropriate measures would be taken in the near future, warning that their consequences will have serious negative influence on the population of Lithuania, according to the Interfax news agency. Lithuania said it was complying with an EU directive not to allow the transit of goods covered by sanctions imposed over Russia's war in Ukraine. These include iron and steel, luxury goods, some other products banned in earlier sanctions packages, which amount to a quarter of total Russian rail supplies to Kaliningrad. So Lithuania said passenger travel and the transit of non-sanctioned goods were unaffected. So basically, and here is a tweet from Richard Hanania, right, this tweet, he says, Lithuania admits it's blockading Kaliningrad because of the NATO guarantee. What a brilliant strategic move it is to bring defenseless countries into a military alliance and embolden them to behave recklessly against powerful neighbors.
After a threat that says it will negatively affect your population, right?
Yeah, basically we're going to wipe you off the map. So good for Lithuania basically saying, it was NATO that asked us to do this. It was EU asked us to do this. So we're doing it. We're going along with the sanctions. And they're going to be wiped off. I mean, this is the problem here. So you know, this might not look at, let's take a look at this map again, because it might not like seem like much. How could this provocation, this little provocation, you might say, cutting off Kaliningrad from the rest of Russia, how could that spark World War III? Well, the very same thing happened in World War II, which forced Germany to attack Poland. So just for some context here, Germany invades Poland. Before September 1939, Poland did not allow the passage of German trains, mostly carrying coal from Germany's mainland into East Prussia. Also, very similar to today, Poland also rejected Germany's suggestion to build a suspended railway through the Polish corridor to avoid all of that area. They then went back and forth on this for about a year. They were negotiating, and then Germany said, we're done. And the attack happened, right? It was almost entirely focused on the rail corridor to Germany in Poland. And here's video of this. This is the invasion. It happens all over a rail line, guys. Like, I'm just trying to provide some, like,
over, you know, a transit of goods.
Yes.
In order to sell things to you to live a life that you're told that you can't live without these products.
So there's historical precedent for it in this same area. So just for a moment, picture let's just play this role. You were going to do some role playing on the show today.
Okay.
Like, picture like the United States for a minute. Right. Just think I'm like, let's say the state of Georgia were mm-hmm. to step in and just cut off all rail and connections between like New York City and Florida or something. It'd be a civil war.
Sure.
Actually, that's kind of what happened in America's civil war, right? Not in Georgia, but you get the picture. Now imagine this happening in Mexico or Canada. Like, we have U.S. rail lines that go through Canada.
Yeah.
Right. On their way to
oil pipelines.
Also. We've been on those rail lines. Right.
Sure.
And Canada has been a good steward of that. We're in good relationship. But what if Canada's like, no, because of, our alliance with Mexico, you're not allowed to get access to your Alaskan shipments anymore. What would the United States do? How many people in the chat watching right now, what do you think the United States would do? Drop us a comment right now. Do you think the United States would just roll over?
Would respond with force to the country that's perpetuating that.
That's exactly what they would do. I mean, the United States would not tolerate it, and Russia's not going to tolerate being cut off from Kaliningrad, one of their most important and vital ship ports, and like the hub of their navy, by the way.
Yes.
So you're not going to cut these guys off from this.
It would seem that Russia is having a stronger response to this than any of the perfunctory sanctions that happened through the European Union.
Yeah, that's the way it felt like to me. It's like I'm going through this. I'm like, this is This is like rhetoric we haven't really heard before.
Yes. It wasn't just, please don't do that. We don't like it. You know, don't kick our athletes out of your athletic competitions. This seems more serious.
This seems a lot bigger. So that's the one big piece of it. And then meanwhile, we have this big story today that we were talking about, which is the same week that the EU is fast-tracking membership for Ukraine, the Ukrainian government has officially banned the opposition party permanently.
Yes.
So
this is true.
Yeah, this is true. This is not fake. This is not a fake tweet. They received, by the way, the opposition party received 20% of the vote in the election. And Zelensky's government moved to have them removed.
Yes. By court order now, a judge has upheld this decision to ban the party, right? So this is not propaganda. This is true. You know, they say they need to do this for public safety because they're raging a war and they need unilateral support for the war, right? But they don't have it. They didn't even start with unilateral support for this conflict when it began back in March. There were plenty of people who said, well, I'm going to wait and see what happens, because they did not have unwavering support for the Ukrainian state.
Yeah, that's a great point. So then these democratic ideals that we're being told to support, right? This, we keep hearing about all these democratic ideals that we're supposed to support in Ukraine. Even you saw Ben Stiller, comedian Ben Stiller showed up and met with Zelensky yesterday.
Well, he showed up to meet with Zelensky and he said that it was for UNESCO's World Refugee Day. And he gave a little speech on Twitter about how, you know, people who, they don't choose to be refugees, it's an awful thing to do. And he visited refugees in Poland and told Zelensky he was a big fan of his work.
Not only that, he told him, he said, you're my hero.
Oh, yes, it was, that's
he said
the word
to, those were the words he used, you're my hero.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, that's a gesture, that's just fine. I would also like to see similar caliber actors bringing some light to refugees in, Ethiopia, which
Syria,
that Syria,
Yemen,
you know, the Ethiopian conflict is about 3 months older, so than the Ukrainian one. So
how about,
you know,
Afghanistan? That's like, you know, if you
that
take
one
out the,
has
if you take
seniority.
Out the 8 years, yeah. There's a lot of
a lot of seniority there.
Yeah.
Yes,
go back quite a ways. Yeah,
you know, this list can get very exhaustive.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I'm glad that caught some traction on Twitter, sure.
So didn't the EU's Ursula von der Leyen just, like, almost 24 hours ago tell us about Ukraine's democratic values and moving towards EU membership? Here was Ursula talking about this. Listen.
In the view of the Commission, Ukraine has clearly demonstrated the country's aspiration and the country's determination to live up to European values and standards.
Okay. So banning the opposition party, literally, you can't have any opposition at all inside Russia. And then meanwhile, the Ukrainian parliament voted on Sunday to ban Russian music and the sale of Russian books. So they're just wiping everything out now. So no music, no Russian music, no Russian
we
literature.
We need that European politician who yelled at Justin Trudeau for not being a good, not being very good at democracy.
Right.
We need her to step up.
Yeah, she was like a German.
Is not how things are done, you guys. That's not what democracy means. You're getting it wrong on the test.
We also talked about Ukraine trying to get rid of Russian language altogether. Like you're not.
Yes,
for 8 years.
But that
been the case
that happened
Donbass.
Years ago. Yes, yeah. By decree, right? And so now we're getting word of in those places that are Russian controlled. Now, schools are reclaiming their name, their language, and teaching in Russia.
So
Russian. Excuse me.
Yeah, Russian.
I didn't mean to yell.
So yesterday, I don't know if you caught Morning Joe. I know you're a big fan of the Morning Joe on MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
American Washington Post columnist Max Boot.
It's absolutely essential. And I think the key here is we have to understand that we're making a mistake in the way that we think about the war, because we keep thinking about it as their war. The Ukrainians are fighting. We need to think about it as our war. Putin is waging war on the West. He is trying to destroy the rules-based international order that we Americans, we Europeans, we all stand for this. This is a direct threat to all of us, and we need to understand this is not a foreign aid project. This is not charity. This is self-defense. This is the front line of freedom right here in the Donbass. The Ukrainians are fighting and dying for all of us. We need to step up, and to echo what Ed Luce was saying, it is unacceptable that right now the Ukrainians are being outgunned 10 to 1 in artillery, 10 to 1. They are losing over 100.
All right, thanks, Max.
Well, okay.
So that's our war.
I would just like to say that I don't support any war. I am unequivocally for peace. But if this is the case, and Congress is sending so much money and so much star power and so much attention, they need to vote and declare it a war. Then, you know, at this point, it's insulting to the rest of us who pay our taxes and then just have to go along with this, but we don't get a formal declaration of war, just a manipulation of media.
Yeah, who was it? Maybe someone in the chat can tell me. It was Chip Roy, the congressman, who said, why are we doing this? Like, why are we not voting on this? Why has this, if we're going to send this much, we're getting grilled by our constituents, want to know why in the world we don't have these types of vital services here in the United States taking care of us. And if we're going to call this a war, we're going to continue to funnel all of this money. If it's quoted for a Washington Post columnist saying this is our war, this is our values.
Yeah.
Then vote for it. But how is it our, I'm just, you know, questioning it. How is it our values? Like Caitlin Johnstone tweeted this in response to this Max Boots boot. She says, these war hawks in April, don't call it a proxy war. It's not a proxy war. The war hawks in May. Of course it's a proxy war. The war hawks in June. It's not their war. It's our war. Like, you can see the evolution of it.
Yes.
Right?
And I think that these people who are trying to control public opinion are concerned that most of us are just fatigued at supporting a war that we don't actually feel is ours. Right. And it's affecting us because of the way that it makes it more expensive to live our lives right now. So I think that this, you know, the propaganda keeps hatcheting up for fear of our malaise about it. Whereas on this show, I don't feel malaise. I have never felt supportive of this conflict.
Yeah. And of course, you see the World War III, you know, speech now as it relates to Lithuania. And I'm telling you, as you talked about, like, this is perhaps the most vehement the most vehement words we've heard. I don't think that's the wrong way to say it. This is the most aggressive wording we've heard from the Russian side. Like,
yeah.
We'll wipe away your island. Like, no, you're not going to and block our rail lines.
That's very scary for all of us, right? We should all feel scared for those kind of consequences, no matter where we live, because it will change our world forever. And, you know, I think we would all like a different type of leveling up for social change.
Matt Thompson has this tweet. People debating whether or not this is our war or their war should be very, very much consider the fact that at least 70 countries are providing assistance of one kind or another to Ukraine in this war. This is very much a world war.
Yes.
And here's a tweet from Roderick. I like this one. It says, this proxy war is going on seemingly forever. Russia keep attacking, we keep supplying, Ukrainians keep losing their lives, and nobody seems to want a peaceful way out of this. Exactly, Roderick. Exactly.
Or, again, I point to the fact that nobody seems to want to give airtime or conversation time to peace speakers,
yeah.
Right? And so that's just a function of the media. We talk about it all the time, but we are not military strategists, so all then, you know, we can just read what people are saying. When is the time for peace? It always could have been discussed, I think, by most, the few people who are willing to speak about peace.
Yeah, let's take a little informal poll. So everyone watching right now in the chat right now, go ahead and let us know your thoughts on this.
This is an. How are you going to simplify this into a poll question?
How about this? Do you like war? A for yes, B for no. No, like, what's a good, I'm just trying to think of what
check
you
check know. Yes or
well,
no.
I think you should, it should be how much do you like war?
Right.
That should
even
be the question.
That is not a binary question.
I know, that's a very American way of asking it. Like, so we're just curious, how much do you like war? Like,
right.
And yeah, don't have zero as an option.
That's a good like crossfire debate question. So I'm just curious, how much do you actually like war? Well, I don't like war. Oh, you don't? Okay. Well, we're getting a lot of responses. Absolutely. C. People are saying C. They don't like. What about B?
No
B.
War.
I don't think we even had people
yeah.
putting Z. Z. No, I mean, just how, you know, we keep hearing this rhetoric from our leaders that this is our war. I mean, I'll just ask you this. How many people watching right now think that this is your war? Like this I'm not one to lead the witness, but this NATO proxy war, is it your war? And we're holding up Western ideals from a country that is literally...
Like, we had to do it. We had to get involved.
We had to, because you know what? Otherwise, they're going to ban... They're going to ban music. They're going to ban art. They're going to vote out and ban the opposition party. They're going to disappear journalists. They're going to make those people disappear. Otherwise, that might happen. Oh, wait a second. That's already been happening. So this is what we're supporting. How many of you support that? I'd be really curious in the chat. Let us know. And while you're there, smash that like button. It really helps us when you smash that like button to push us further out in the algorithm. We've got a lot more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk coming up here in just a moment. We're going to talk about Texas. Can you give us a little teaser on what's going on in Texas?
Yes. So Texas, the Texas GOP just adopted this new platform, and it is a compendium of all the things that the GOP normally says on Fox News. But I think that it's worth taking seriously because it is a serious move to secede. And I don't think if we just sort of make fun of it, we miss the big picture of the fact that there is a movement.
Well, who's
going to
make fun of it? Who's making fun of it?
A lot of people on Twitter.
Blue check Twitter liberals?
Right. Yeah. We'll talk about this when we get there, I suppose.
Yeah. So save your gunpowder for it. But we got that to talk about. But first, let's talk about what's going on with gas prices. Let's talk about heating oil and what we're facing for the winter here. So,
Winter. Today's the summer solstice, you guys. We are just in summer. Don't rush it.
Get planning for winter. You know, this
Go
is
to
the sad
the
part.
Yeah.
This is a sad, sad, sad state of affairs. So let's talk about this. Gas prices have been the big story, right, over the past few months. Biden calls it Putin's price hike, and we all know that that's a crock of crap. Well, in the UK this morning, take a look at this headline in the UK. Here's this morning's headline, which says UK fuel prices hit new record. The average price of petrol went up yet again on Sunday to a new record. Look at that. $2.32 US, more than 5 weeks of successive record prices has caused a liter of unleaded petrol to rocket. 23p. What's 23p? 23 pounds? 23
pence.
Pence? Pence?
I believe it's
Philip,
pence.
You're really good at the currency conversions here. 23 pence from 165 in mid-May. So that's what the companies report. Pence, yes, 23 pence.
Yeah, it would be a pence.
Okay, a pence.
I believe. I don't know.
a penny for
I know,
your thoughts.
I know what currency belongs to what country. I don't know all of the. I don't know all of the loonies involved in it. So
sing a song of sixpence.
Sixpence. But now the headlines are shifting to coal this morning. And while today is the first day of summer, we're already thinking about the long cold winter that Europe and the West will be facing because we've got a man-made energy crisis on our hands. It is man-made. There's no other way around this. It is man-made.
Sure. But living on these types of energy is man-made too. Humans existed for millennia without these types of heating and cooling devices.
Oh, okay. Yes. But the artificial restriction or
the artificial
production...
dissemination came before the artificial restriction. It's always been artificial.
Was it a chicken or an egg?
I mean, but okay, I just want to say, I think we do ourselves a disservice to think, oh my God, I will die without these things when humans haven't for millennia, right? And so, but we don't know how. So we can either be afraid of it or we could teach ourselves how.
Yeah. Okay. Well, countries are restarting coal-fired power plants now. Because the way things are going. So take a look at this headline. In energy-strapped Europe, coal gets an encore. Yeah, that's because the way things are going, there won't be enough natural gas available come wintertime. The first country to take the step was Germany, which on Sunday said it's going to restart their coal-fired plants as part of a broader plan to preserve natural gas. Here's how CNBC spins the crisis, of course, pointing the finger right at Russia in their headlines. Henning-Gloystein, it says, Henning-Gloystein in this article says, Director of Energy and Climate Resources at the political risk consultancy Eurasia Group says, get ready for rationing as the way to handle this. The worst case scenario is energy rationing. That would mean that non-essential industries are asked at the first stage to reduce consumption in return for compensation. That's a plan that the government in Germany published over the weekend. Non-essential businesses. So he goes on to say this. The next step would be to ration industries and households and ask them to consume much less. And that's something in Europe that most people have never experienced, he continues. That in winter means people will get cold, and in some areas it is as cold, it's a cold winter. Some people will die, and that's politically really toxic. And of course, it's a nasty situation to be in. So he's really worried about the politics of it. He's right. Like, that's a politically really toxic thing. And
when
people
die on your watch, it's not good for your campaign.
Also, yeah, it's just a nasty situation to be in. So politically, it's going to look bad when people die because they don't have heating oil.
Can I just tell you where my mind went when we're warned that non-essential industries will be asked to conserve? And I'm like, huh, is that why they marked what's essential and what's not during a pandemic?
Well, you beat me to it.
Since we've all, those things have already been flagged and we all agreed to it, right? And so this is sort of, I know that that's a conspiracy place, a conspiracy theory place to go, but it feels very much like.
No, it's not conspiratorial at all. I mean, it sounds that way, but it's not. Now it's been proven. Like, we had Carol Roth on the show. Go back and watch our interview with Carol Roth, the author of The War on Small Business, right? And the pandemic crushed small businesses. It also, the categorization of non-essential versus essential. Like,
yes.
What is considered essential? Like
dog grooming versus hair, human hair grooming.
Right. Like how does that make sense?
Right.
Like, that's essential during a crisis that we need to have our dog groomed?
I don't know.
Like, if you're Nancy Pelosi, I guess, you know, and then, you know, she, and then it didn't matter, right? Because she got her hair done. Her hair did.
She did.
Even with, anyway, so how do we get here? So businesses, non-essential businesses being crushed, it all sounds familiar, right? Like the pandemic. Well, it turns out that when you cut off your supply of fuel through draconian Russian sanctions, you're going to hurt your own people. So the crisis deepened last week when the Russian energy giant Gazprom slowed down flows in a pipeline that runs to Germany. Now, Russia said, look, it was a technical issue related to the Canadian sanctions. They were sort of doing
they needed pieces of, yes, of the supply chain that came from Canada, which they were cut off from, so they say.
Yeah, so they say this had to do with Canadian sanctions, so that's why the gas was slowed down to Europe, and then Europe's like, we don't believe it. Anyway, so if we ask ourselves, where does the EU get its coal? Because now if we're going to have to roll back to this, we're going back to coal. Turns out that 70% of all European Union coal comes from Russia.
So that's better.
Right. So we're going back to
which
that
which we have not sanctioned yet. So we can use that.
It's hilarious, right? So we're going to sanction the gas, but the coal, no, we're going to fight. We're going to turn those plants back on again. And oh, by the way, where do we get most of our coal? We get it from Russia. I mean, do you see the ridiculousness of all of this?
And Russia, and we'll pay for it in ruble.
Right. Yeah, we'll use your currency. We'll buy the coal from you during this sanction period, and we'll use your currency because you're not accepting US dollars or euros anymore. How does that work out? Great, we got it. We solved that. So Germany has been pushing South Africa to get off coal for years, even sending billions of dollars in bribery money to South Africa to do that. Listen, look at that. Billions. They've tried to, like, bribe South Africa. Get off of coal, right? And now they're heading back into coal.
Yeah. I mean, environmental issues be damned, right? Because we've created this, we've backed ourselves into a corner in the West because we've decided we're not going to use your gas, but we will use your coal, and people will think that we're being strong-arm politicians. So do we buy it? That's rhetorical, but you can tell us in the chat.
No, and the Netherlands, by the way, so let's talk about the Netherlands. We've been covering the Netherlands here on the show. I've heard from a number of our Dutch viewers who've written to me, and some of you have been very kind. You've translated videos from your prime minister, and it's very interesting to hear the flip-flopping that's been going on in the Netherlands. Like, not wanting Ukraine to be a part of the EU, and now suddenly they're okay with that. Like, this total flip-flopping and throwing out what they said like a few months ago or even a year ago. Total change, right? Total change. So Netherlands now heading back into the coal pits. Here's the report out of the Netherlands. Dutch climate energy minister Rob Jetten, I'm sure it's Jetten, right? If it's Dutch.
I don't know.
Has announced that the Netherlands is lifting all restrictions on coal-fired power stations to reduce natural gas consumption while making an urgent appeal to businesses to save as much energy as possible ahead of the winter season. The Hague has activated the early warning phase of its energy crisis plan in the face of a potential shortage of natural gas this winter, Jetten said on Monday.
And I'm just wondering how that coal will arrive, given that the ports have been sanctioned, right? So is coal by rail okay? You know, we're only being given the pieces of this story that make it seem like this is a dire necessity and that politicians are making hard choices but right choices. So, you know, a good journalist would maybe follow up and say, where does that come from? Well, how's it getting there?
To do a search, I mean, even doing a simple Google search in the West for coal or coal shortages or coal today, like just to do a news search, almost all of the news headlines are written by Western, you know, media companies.
Yes.
And it's like Russia squeezing the, you know, Europe, coal has to come back in favor because of Russia, Russia, Russia. Really? Even at the end of that Financial Times piece, if you can put that back up there on that screen, Yetin says at the end, I want to emphasize that at the moment, there's no acute gas shortage, Yetin noted, but nonetheless claimed that more countries are now being squeezed by Russia. Oh, is it? Is that really the case, actually? Or is it you squeezing yourselves?
Right.
Excuse me?
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't know how to say it, but that's what it is. And I like this tweet to kind of wrap it up here on this point. This tweet says, warning, any developing nation with a lot of coal, prepare for a regime change.
Right.
I mean, it's cynical, but true, right? I mean, this is what happens, right? Oh, you've got oil and you don't have nuclear weapons. Here's the United States knocking at your door. You know, here's the EU. We're here to help. We'd like to install some soldiers to help with your oil and all of your other natural gas. And just like we did in Syria, just like we did in the list is endless, really. So,
yes. We have commenters regularly who put in our chat that fossil fuels are actually a form of clean energy. I don't know what they're talking about, and I would like to learn. So if you have references to why you say those things in the chat, have you seen these comments?
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, because obviously I don't think any of us agree that coal is a clean energy, right?
Well, we hear about clean coal technology. When I worked in West Virginia as a news anchor and reporter, we used to hear all the time about clean coal technology.
Yes.
The burning of clean coal, right? And you hear on both sides that that's a misnomer, that there's no such thing as clean coal burning. That doesn't
exist. Or
mining.
Yes.
You know, and I would witness in West Virginia with my own eyes the destruction of certain communities in West Virginia thanks to
strip mining, especially. Yeah.
Mountaintop mining removal.
My great-grandfather was a coal miner in West Virginia. And my grandmother is proud that he was not a strip miner. He was a coal miner. Like, actually went in. This was something that she used to speak about as a point of pride about her father.
So, I mean, to me, yeah, and I don't know, but to me, like, the hypocrisy of these European leaders and Western leaders who are telling everyone and lecturing everyone about this technology, and now President Biden is ramping up as much offshore oil drilling as he possibly can do, ramping up as much coal production as possible. And at the end of the day, the European Union now, because if they're going to stop the 70% they're getting from Russia, where are they going to get it? They're going to get it from the same people they've been bullying about getting rid of coal, which is South Africa, and they're going to get a bulk of it from the United States. So again, United States, South Africa, and New Zealand, Australia, will be the areas where they would get so much coal right now to ship it across. So now it's not just coming from your own backyard. And by rail line, it's going to have to be put into major ships and sent across the ocean.
Yeah. So if you have books for us to read about a clean technology that we just, I mean, it's quite possible, right, that we're being told that fossil fuel is a racket, and maybe there's some of it that's not, and we're interested in learning. So you can find us on Twitter. I'm Natalie Morris. He's Clayton Morris. We also are both on Goodreads. So
please don't send us books that are written by the coal industry.
Yes, nothing like that, and nothing all caps with, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to read. I don't want to read books on sugar written by Coca-Cola.
Right.
The Coca-Cola lobby.
Yeah.
Like those studies that came out in the 80s about how sugar is good for you.
Right.
Produced by the Coca-Cola company.
Yes. Doctors who are paid by the diaper companies to tell you to let kids to potty train themselves whenever the heck they're ready. That really gets under my skin, too. These doctors that
say, basically, like, basically you don't want to read anything by the 10th doctor.
No.
So right. you got the.
Yeah.
Or Bill Gates. Like, if Bill Gates is writing it, don't send it to me. I don't want to read about Bill Gates' pandemic preparedness plan.
No, I don't. Nothing like that.
He's buying up all farmland across the United States.
Right.
Please don't send that to me.
Bill Gates, who's saying that the reason he can use his private jet is because he pays for offset credits. That's a farce.
The biggest scam in the world. I can pollute I can pollute because I use carbon offset credits. It's like I always bring this up, but it's like, what was it in the 1400s or 1500s, the plenary indulgences of the Catholic Church? If you were wealthy, they don't have these anymore, but you could just, I believe it was the case that you could pay for your sins. Like, oh, I did this, but here's you have a plenary indulgence that you can just have, you know, you'd be absolved of it if you just had some money. That's the way it works.
Well, not only that, but you could also pay for the sins of your ancestors, and that was actually bigger money than paying for your own.
Why would you do that? Who's that altruistic to pay for a deceased?
Yeah, like, oh, my dad, he did this thing, and I want to clear his name with the church, so I'm going to pay. Is that?
I mean, I think of like my family history or things that I maybe are not proud of in my family. I don't care to pay for those things.
Right.
Let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah. Do you see the Pope, by the way? The Pope's getting ready to, it looks like the Pope might be packing it in and retiring.
Yes, he may decide to, he may be ordering a new conclave, and that's always good fun in the media, right?
Oh yeah, the media loves that. They love to stand outside in the Vatican and watch the smoke. What color smoke is it going to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I would love to do is go to I don't care about any of that. I would love to go to the Vatican caves and the archives and go down there and see that stuff. Holy smokes.
Yeah,
that
would angels be and demons style.
Yeah. We just watched National Treasure the other day. You ever see that? The Nicolas Cage movie? She had never seen it, so we watched it with the kids. And a lot of fun, like all of that.
Yes, but it's funny when they actually get down into the... Sorry, this is a spoiler, but it's like a 20-year spoiler. So I guess
I guess at this point.
And they open up the cave, and it's full of all types of treasure from this, like, cabal. What do they call it?
Secret Society with
the Freemasons. Right. And I was like, that's all stolen from other countries. It's like an Egyptian sarcophagus and things like that. And I was like, that's nice. And they decide to give it all to taxpayers, but it was never theirs.
Right.
You can never write that movie these days.
It's like the Rosetta Stones, like stealing that. It's like, we got it. We're here. We're British. We got it now in our museums. The way it works.
Yes, or the Queen's Crown Jewel that comes from India. There's a lot of that's really interesting right now, this movement to return artifacts and art pieces.
Yeah. David says he thinks it's time for a female pope.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Turn off my female pope.
Oh, would that change the smoke that comes out of the Vatican? Is that like now the gender reveal party of the,
yes, of the Vatican? It'd be pink smoke. Be a pink pope.
And then it starts another fire in a national, the Notre Dame one.
All right. We got more news to get to here. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about what's going on with the recession, potential recession. You know, President Biden is on a little bit of a vacation. He was down riding bikes. We saw him riding bikes and all of that. Now he's at the beach. And meanwhile, while the Democratic Party has been singularly focused on the January 6th hearings, which are currently going on, they're still going on, a number of top economists and investors are breaking the glass on the emergency alarm and warning all of us that a recession is all but inevitable or might actually already be here, which we'll get to in a second. This is what some economists are saying. U.S. has a 40% chance of tumbling into recession next year, Wall Street analysts say, and others say it's happening now. Peter Schiff is one of those. He's been deadly accurate before on the housing crisis, among other accurate predictions. No one paid attention to him then. Now he's saying we're already in. And by the way, what's funny about Peter Schiff is I used to interview him. Remember on Fox, or he'd be on our show all the time. And then he fell out of favor because he was saying things that they didn't like.
Mm.
So he's like not been back on any of the mainstream media now anymore. Like he used to be on CNBC, and I think he started getting into some tiffs with those guys and not carrying the corporate water for those guys.
Yeah.
So now he's not on there. Anyway, now Peter Schiff is saying that we're already in a recession and it's going to be worse than we can even imagine. Here's Peter Schiff.
Well, first of all, I think the recession has already started. I think we're in it now. It's just early. In fact, the first quarter was already a negative print. And I don't think it's going to be a mild recession. I think this recession is going to be worse than the Great Recession that started following the 2008 financial crisis. So, you know, and remember, the government didn't see that one coming either. And in fact, when we were 6 or 7 months into that recession, the Federal Reserve and other economists still claimed that there was no recession anywhere in sight. So this recession is going to be much worse than that one. And what's going to make it particularly problematic is inflation, because inflation is actually going to be exacerbated by the recession. So Americans are going to have the worst of both worlds, a worse recession than the Great Recession of 08, but worse inflation than anything we experienced during the 1970s.
Yes, that's true. And my belief is that we were not allowed to properly recover from the 2008 recession because we had so many market perversions. We had so many government bailouts, and we had so many artificially low prices due to the Walmart, Amazon, China trifecta. And so consumers never really felt the pain of that in a real way. Although, I mean, I'm saying this, but I know how many people had their 401ks wiped out, savings plans wiped out, right? But as a society, as a collective society, we never pulled ourselves collectively out of it.
No, because the Fed just kept printing money.
Yes.
They kept printing money and they artificially inflated things.
It really only, it hurt savers in a big way, right?
And so now, I mean, if you look at where we are right now, this recession was solely created by the same freaking central bankers. The same guys that propped up Wall Street and big businesses and lobbyists while at the same time consolidating control. That's it. But don't worry, President Biden says he just got off the phone with failed Biden Obama economic advisor, Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, and he says no need to worry about a recession. We got this. Listen.
A recession's even more likely than ever.
Not the majority of them aren't saying that. Come on, don't make things up, okay? Now you sound like a Republican politician. I'm joking. That was a joke. But all kidding aside, no, I don't think it is. I was talking to Larry Summers this morning. And there's nothing inevitable about a recession.
So he says in this Bloomberg piece, he's like, look, yeah, I spoke with Larry Summers. I just got off the phone with the guy. And literally, like, the guy who's gotten it wrong multiple times, like Larry Summers, right? Total inaccurate, totally inaccurate, right? I just got off the phone with him. We're all good to go. He says it's not inevitable. If we just do a few things, little things, we're good to go. It's amazing because Larry Summers was on Meet the Press on Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. So one day later, he's telling President Biden that, no, recession's not inevitable. On Sunday, he was telling Chuck Todd this. Watch.
Is a recession, a mild one, necessary in order to tame inflation? Can inflation at this point be tamed without triggering a recession?
I don't think there are historical precedents for inflation at the rate we now have it coming down to the target the Fed has set of 2% without a recession. I think all the precedents point towards a recession, Chuck. There's always a first time for everything, and I don't want ever to make forecasts.
So,
well, look, if we can do something to print our way out of it, right, we'll avoid it. But all the models show that, yes, we have to go through a recession in order to fix the market.
So then when I get on the phone with the president a day later, I just give him a line of shit. Like, I just give him a line of crap. Like, I think it's inevitable.
Well, he didn't ask for the models, right?
It could be a first time for everything, Chuck, that we won't have a recession based on these modelings. So then he tells the president that it's not inevitable and that there's a few little things he can do. So these are the same people, by the way, that told us all before. These are the same people that all of this was going to be transitory, right? The same people that were huddled around President Biden. They were telling, and what they told us was wrong. So we're going to start believing them, the Larry Summers of the world, the Janet Yellens of the world. Janet Yellen, remember this?
It was wrong then about the path that inflation would take. As I mentioned, there have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly that I didn't, at the time, didn't fully understand.
Okay. Yeah, but how many other people understood this, right?
Well, lots.
A lot, right?
If you listen to economist podcasts like I do.
I mean, a lot of people
saying that. Yeah,
but don't worry, they have a plan. So now that Biden talked with Larry Summers during his beach vacation, this is according to Bloomberg, the White House and congressional Democrats are in talks on legislation that aims to fight inflation, to rein in the deficit and revive parts of Biden's agenda. The contours of a potential deal remain under negotiation, but the package would likely include capping of the price of insulin.
For you, not for the pharmaceuticals. They can still charge high prices, but to your insurance company. Go on.
Okay, so they're going to cap the price of insulin, a key medicine for diabetics, right, and federal investments in both clean energy and fossil fuels. People briefed on the talks said last week, "Wow, we solved it."
That's the way.
Literally, that's the plan. That's how we're going to combat inflation. Capping insulin prices. And I don't mean to be cynical, but that's not going to do a damn thing. And also federal investments in clean energy.
No, because the pharmaceuticals will charge the same for it. They're only going to cap the price that you pay, not the price that they'll charge your insurance. That was never a part of the legislation.
So just answer me this. Riddle me this, Batman. Okay. What federal investment in clean energy and fossil fuels is going to help the fact that the government printed trillions of dollars that it didn't have? Like, what the hell is that going to do?
Yeah,
nothing.
Maybe.
No, I know you like to be the positive.
Right.
Person.
I'm just trying to read between the lines, and maybe they are actually trying to infer that, yeah, there has to be a painful inflection point for all of us. And so we're going to go back to this because the mention of Biden's agenda makes me think, okay, maybe he wants to continue to push any social programs that he has, or, commitment to the environment. And maybe he's saying, you know, we can't help the rest of it. We can't bail out the rest of it. It's all kind of a hot mess. We're going to let the economic models do what they need to do. And then when the dust settles, I don't know.
One of the things he said on the beach that we didn't play was they were talking about gas prices, and he said, "Well, I'm having a meeting with the task force. We're going to be meeting with the oil and gas companies, and we're really excited about electric cars, and we're hoping that everyone will be buying an electric car." Which, as we talked about, the average price of an electric car, I believe, is $55,000 or $63,000. It's like pretty damn high for the average price of an electric car. So even if we just round down to $50,000.
Right. And the manufacturing of them is not a clean technology.
Right. So who has, and then of course the electricity used also, like it doesn't, unless you're using it powered by solar, right? So $50,000, who's got $50,000 laying around to go buy an electric car? Because of your forced inflation.
During a recession that's not a recession.
Right. Yeah. It's not a recession. And you created this. Like, your government created this with these sanctions and the printing of money. So this idea.
On both sides, right? This is a bipartisan issue. So we're blaming the Biden administration, but this has been a runaway train for a long time. It really does not matter which side of the aisle is in power. These forces have continued.
Yeah, although it would be, it would be interesting to see how much of a response there would be to the sanctions from a Trump administration. Would they be putting these types of sanctions?
And the Republican Party screamed their head off about the bailouts. They hated it,
mm-hmm.
Which only helped wealthy people and allowed the rest of us to go through a recession. So
maybe it would have been fewer trillions, but they certainly don't stop in Republicans and Democrats in total lockstep sending $800 billion to the military industrial complex. So
no, that is bipartisan.
That's bipartisan. So both parties are corrupt. We're not sitting here in favor of any one party.
So let's go over what we've been through. We have a war that's not a war, hasn't been declared by Congress,
right,
but it's supposed to be ours. We have a recession that's not a recession. Has not been declared. Like, do we ever, I mean, I know Congress doesn't vote on calling things a recession, but are we just never going to use that word? It's the new, like, we tiptoe around it, you know?
Right.
We're not allowed.
We're not going to say it.
We don't say recession?
No, we won't call it. The president keeps getting pressed on this question about the recession. They're trying to change the subject on it. They're not going to talk about it. Because the moment the words recession come out of the White House's mouth,
yeah,
like, they're done. They're going to lose this election. The midterm election is going to be an absolute bloodbath. So it's going to be traumatic for them.
Yeah.
And so you cannot admit that it's a recession.
Yeah.
You can't talk about it. Remember what happened to George H.W. Bush.
It's canceled. All this cancel culture. The words war, the words recession, the words fair market, right? It's like we're starting to get to this point where we don't call things what they are because we're just so afraid of them. and afraid of actually suffering the consequences collectively and coming up with a better culture.
Well, I've got something good for you.
Okay.
So if you guys want to fix your credit score, you want to add a number of points to your credit score right now, you can do that. And our friends over at ScoreMaster are going to tell you how to do that. So here's the beauty. The three-week rule may be the best financial advice ever. What's the three-week rule? If you wait 3 weeks to buy the new car, wait 3 weeks to refi your home mortgage, and wait 3 weeks to finance any major purchase. Why 3 weeks? Because that's how fast the average ScoreMaster user takes to boost his or her credit score, an average of 61 points. And listen, 61 points added to your credit score can save you tens of thousands of dollars in everything we finance. ScoreMaster technology was developed by credit data scientists to boost your credit score higher and faster than you thought possible. ScoreMaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started, and you don't have to wait for months for your best credit score. So try ScoreMaster today. See how many plus points you can add to your credit score. Go to scoremaster.com/redacted. That's scoremaster.com/redacted. Again, that is scoremaster.com/redacted to add. You can add up to 61 points to your credit score. I'm curious how many people in the chat right now have a credit score that is suffering because of whatever issue that you've had to deal with right now, whether it's personal, you know, you've had a health-related issue. A lot of people have, like, you know, health-related issues and so forth that have caused, or bankruptcy because of that, have caused their credit scores to go through the roof, which is absolutely ridiculous in the United States. So let us know in the chat if you've had that experience. But all you need to do is go to scoremaster.com/redacted, and you can help get your credit score back where it needs to be. These guys are fantastic. A number of people on our team have taken advantage of that. You should be able to take advantage of it too. All right.
All right. Let's talk about Texas, shall we? In Texas, the Republican Party has an official new platform that calls for the state to secede from the United States. So this is a big one. We're going to go over it because I noticed online there's a lot of rhetoric about panning this document, and it does read like a compendium of all the things that the Republican Party says on Fox News, right? That liberals just kind of lose their mind over and, you know, make fun of and don't otherwise consider. But I think that a document like this is important to discuss because it proves a couple of things about American culture. One is that there is this division of and this these subsets of people who do not feel like the federal government represents them any longer.
Would you say subset of people? I don't feel like the federal government, I'm not a subset. I feel like there's a majority. I think if you think 100 million people don't vote for either party, they think that both of these parties are a joke. I don't think it's a subset anymore.
Maybe not subset, but there are at least groups that you could pull apart by state lines,
sure,
right?
Sure. Okay.
Yes, that's not a subset, but I think it's worth taking seriously because a lot of times I think that the United States is too big for any one federal system to represent people around the world, around the country, rather, right? Because living in California is just as different, it is so different from, say, living in Texas or Alabama or any other state, right? And we have, I don't know, I just feel like it's becoming ridiculous to think that these states are united. So let's talk about what this one document wants for a separate culture, right? So the party is calling on a vote to secede the union in 2023. So look at count 224, right? It says the legislator, we are asking the state legislature to pass in its next session requiring a referendum in the 2023 general election for the people of Texas to determine whether or not the state of Texas should reassert its status as an independent nation. Now look at some of the other things. That's just what I highlighted for you here, but some of the other things on this page alone, 223, no, the previous one that we were just on. Yes, 223, no campaign contribution limits, none.
Okay.
227, no gun-free zones in Texas, okay? No legalization of marijuana, that kind of thing. 225, I cannot mention here on YouTube. You can read it yourself. Let's look at number 21, the next one. No executive orders. I'm sorry, this is number 20. Executive orders. We oppose all executive orders, not even by the president, a governor, or a local official. Clearly, this is in response to the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
Let's look at the next one, number 21A. We no mass lockdowns of the people, our businesses, or churches. No form of government shall ever again, right? This is in response
to their own COVID. It's like their own constitution.
Yes, we decide you may never do this to us again, right? Let's look at number 32, the next one. The right to bear arms, it's hefty here, right? A repeal and nullify of the Gun Control Act of 1968. All kinds of just like no gun control that ever will limit our right to have firearms. Number 36, abandon abortion, right? Abolish abortion and give equal protection to the laws of all preborn children from the moment of fertilization, right? Number 40, the next one, oppose carbon taxes. And look at number 42, the next one, please. Oh, nope, we don't have that one. Okay.
Just read it.
So what it would say was oppose environmentalism that gets in the way of legitimate business. If you go to number 8, the one you just had up. Yep, that one. Businesses shall not be held liable for COVID, right? This, again, is in response to the pandemic. So if someone comes into your store and gets COVID, you cannot sue them, that person, right? All businesses now are not held liable. Also, the government should not instate mask mandates. That's number 69, which I did not highlight. Number 68, all jobs are essential. So you cannot decide which businesses stay in business and which ones don't. Look at number 82, a repeal of all number of taxes, the estate tax, inventory taxes, business franchise tax, the Affordable Care Act, home sales tax, basically no to taxes, which is a big one in Texas, right? The next section is extensive on education. It bans critical race theory and sexuality education, as well as bans school from providing healthcare, hormones, birth control, and other medicines that they want parents to control for their children. Later, we're going to talk about how long they consider parents the decision makers for children.
ML in our chat says, I'm in Texas. This is a declaration of independence.
Yes, it is, right? And I want to talk about that later because it does seem like this is a declaration of all the things that Texas is currently litigating against the federal government for its right to do, right? So they are trying already to make these laws. The federal government keeps stepping in and saying, you can't do that, actually. You have to do it this way. And they're going to court over it. So this is a document just giving them the rights to do this and saying, we give up. We don't want to play by your rules. This is how we want it to be, right? This section 142 on gender identity not only opposes normalizing transgender curriculum, but also the pronouns. Like, nope, none of that. They, them, just not there. The next one, the section on homosexuality and gender issues, this I do find chilling. It says there should be no equal legal entitlements for homosexuals. No one should be punished for opposing them. So that means this story where the bakery didn't want to make a cake for a gay wedding, right? And was taken to court. Under this law, you could not sue a business for opposing any services to homosexuals. It prohibits professionals from any gender-altering surgery, or it prohibits like medical professionals from hormone-blocking medication. A few other tidbits that I didn't write out here, but I just felt like mentioning, it rejects social media censorship, free market solutions for utilities wherever possible, so no public utilities if possible. They want entrepreneurs to be able to privatize and make money from those things. Regulation of groundwater is supported. I find this really interesting. I have an interview coming up here with an expert on water use in the United States, and I find that fascinating. It supports giving parents access to medical records, school grades, or other records until the child is 26, or as long as parents are paying for their college or living expenses. I think that's really fascinating too, because a lot of times in America, a child can go off to college and make these decisions that maybe their parents wouldn't otherwise support, but they are financially supporting the child. So interesting, right? Abolishes Planned Parenthood, preserves the Alamo. I didn't know about this, like, reform the Alamo movement. I looked into it a little bit and then decided I didn't have time for it. I welcome your comments. Gay marriage, we talked about. It opposes trade with China and development. It opposes development of nuclear war in Iran and North Korea. And then this last one, 272, I thought was interesting. It protects sovereignty for the U.S. and rejects any authority from foreign entities such as the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, and the United Nations, right? It says, we reject the concept of a one world government or the Great Reset. They want nothing to do with that, right?
I love it.
Well, I don't love all of it, but...
No, I love a huge... I love 95% of it. They want to get rid of the World Economic Forum. They want...
You don't love 95% of it.
I didn't read all of it, but I mean, most of it spoke to me. I'm like, oh, they
no taxes. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
No executive orders. No
COVID lockdowns. Yes. No mask mandates. Sure. Yeah. I'm for a lot of that. Right. But a lot of the sort of social pieces of it, I find very uncomfortable, such as denying services to homosexuals. Right. That is not the world we live in right now. And I think that, you know, we could debate them one by one, but I think what's interesting is that these are the things that Texas keeps trying to do because their elected officials are trying to do these things, right? Less gun control, less social media censoring, no abortions. All of these things are currently working their way through the courts. And so Texas is saying, we don't have to keep suing you, federal government, or fighting you in courts.
We're done. We're out of here.
If you just let us do this, right? So I think that it's interesting to wonder how long could these 50 states remain 50 when there is a portion of the population, a large portion of the population that agrees with this manifesto.
Well, and it's interesting too, demographically, when you think about Texas and the people that are moving to Texas, and you know, there's been a lot of people saying, "Hey, is Texas going to become a purple state, or you know, and eventually become blue? Right? Mm-hmm. Is that what's going to happen? Right? Because so many people moving from California, so many people moving from the Pacific Northwest, so many people moving from you know, New Jersey and other places like that down into Texas and into Austin and those areas.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen? And so you certainly see this demographic shift into Texas that's, you know, where a lot of liberals are saying, oh, there's no taxes there?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have to pay. Oh, okay, great. I can live more cheaply. It's safer. I have maybe access to better schools. It's not as draconian when it comes to laws. The weather is better. I don't have to worry about wildfires and all of this craziness.
Right.
Of course, then you get these weird freezes that have been happening.
But... I don't know. I think if not for some of these social pieces that I find so scary, I would otherwise not say, like, let's give it a try, you know? Although there was a Supreme Court ruling in 1869 that prevented states from seceding, but that was a very different Supreme Court, right?
Right.
And as we were talking about just this weekend, when we were watching this National Treasure movie, the Declaration of Independence does leave room to throw off a government if it no longer serves you.
I mean, this is Thomas Jefferson's.
So Texas is evoking this ethos that is woven into the very foundation of being an American.
This is Thomas Jefferson's ethos, right? It's the idea that if you, first of all, a government should always fear its people. The people should never fear its government.
That's not the way I am living.
No, we fear our government. And this, if Thomas Jefferson were alive today, this would not be the government that he would want. He would want us to throw off the shackles of this government and start afresh, to start anew. Like, this is not the government that he foresaw at all. This is the exact antithesis of that, right? The thing is, though, we talked earlier about, like, can you imagine Canada stepping in and preventing the United States from getting access to Alaska via rail lines and shipping lines and things like that? Think about the oil and the resources that sit in Texas. There's no way. Like, think about the war that would unfold. I mean, if suddenly Texas is like, we're done. We're taking all our oil. Bye-bye. We're out of here.
But if the United Kingdom can leave Europe, then stranger things could have happened, right? I don't see the federal government letting Texas go easily. I see this as a long shot, right? But I don't think the factions that have created this document will dissipate, even if there is no seceding of this state. They will stay. They will get stronger. People will continue to feel this way no matter what happens.
Yeah, people have said this about California for a long time. California, you know, its economy in many ways fuels a lot of states in the United States.
Yeah.
So what the, you know, it's, what is it, the third? Is California, if it was its own country, it'd be the, like the fourth largest in the world?
The fifth. I think it's the fifth largest economy in the world. And that was the point I was just about to make, was the idea that I think that gets missed. And I mean, you see it every now and then, people making the argument, but Texas takes in more federal aid than it gives back in taxes. And
say
so
that
it would basically, like, Texas takes in more federal aid than it pays back in taxes.
Right.
But it has a lot and of so, private wealth that I think this document is inferring that they could live on.
So what you're arguing, though, Philip, is the idea that, well, in some ways this would help the federal government, right? Because in the federal government wouldn't be flowing, taking money from New Jersey and New York taxpayers. And this is arguably what's been happening for a long time, is that the northern states subsidize southern states. That has long been the case. Now, you look at where the tax outlays go, that's what happens, right?
Yeah, and you see that argument quite a bit. It's just that you know, you have places like New York, like California, which actually pay out more in taxes than they bring in federal aid. And so some of the states that are arguing for secession are at a deficit with taxes anyway.
Yes.
Would it be enough, though, to keep them from doing it, right? Now they're cut off. Would they go into their own form of a recession? Or would
Base? I think the GOP thinks that private wealth is the key to success, not necessarily government wealth. And they also address welfare programs. Of course, the Republican Party is not for it. They think everyone should be able to handle their own, whether or not I haven't seen those economic models. I don't know whether they pan out, but we do know that these, again, are the things that Republican senators say on the news. So that tracks.
It is an interesting thought experiment to think, okay, so a lot of tax outlays come from the north and flow into Texas. Now, Texas has a very agreeable tax structure right now. That's why a lot of businesses have moved there, because they don't have to pay the taxes that they pay in other places,
yeah,
New Jersey and California, right? So they're able to go there, and then they're able to sort of live off of the taxes that are prepared and collected in other states. So it's kind of a balance. It's this weird balancing act, right?
Wait, I don't understand what you said.
So, okay, Texas is favorable because you're able to move there, like Apple built
the headquarters. They don't have state income tax.
State income tax is not there. So all these employees, right, Tesla, Apple, all of these companies are moving there, building factories, car manufacturers, et cetera. So they're able to go there, and it's favorable. But it's favorable in part because the federal government funnels tax money and subsidies from other states, from northern states, from New Jersey and New York, and exorbitant taxes. That's how it sort of flows through the coffers. And so if you cut that off, would they be able to stand? I mean, I think they would. I think they might not want to create income taxes, but they might have to.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they might have to do something to raise taxes if suddenly they can't get taxes from other states.
I don't know. It's very like bootstrap, right? Pun intended.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought.
It's a very bootstrap type argument that we could do it ourselves. We don't need you.
I mean, you could look at other countries that have done that and declared their independence, and they go through like these periods of dark times. They go through a recession for a number of years until they're able to pick themselves up.
A lot of it is like, look, we keep Texas taxes in Texas. We keep Texas projects in Texas, Texas taxes for the people. So even their federal taxes, they're just like, you know, we don't need that.
Ivan in our chat, Ivan Goldbit says, yeah, Texas would start taxing. I mean, that's the question, right? I'm just saying.
But if Texans already pay a federal tax, then they wouldn't, and there is no state tax, the tax would remain the same.
I mean, just look.
Could remain the
look same. At history. Look at the history of countries that have relied. I mean, look at colonialism. Look at the United States relying on the crown, right? So we got upset about the, what was it? Was it the Stamp Act, right? The tax on tea. But so the tax on tea, of course, and the Boston Tea Party, right? Where we don't want to pay these taxes on this tea. Like, how dare the British Crown do this? We'll dress up as Native Americans and pretend that we're, and trash the boats and do, well, the whole thing. But look, the same in Vanuatu, right? The country of Vanuatu that threw off and became independent from from colonization. Not exactly a booming economy. The same with Belgium when it threw off the shackles.
It was French, right?
Vanuatu. French and Brit, I think so. Yeah, and same thing with Belgium that threw off when it became independent from Holland. Like, you have to build. You know, there's a lot of dark periods before you're on your own feet. So I don't know. I just like the idea.
Maps change. You know, again, it's one of these thought experiments is. Would you move into a place because you have more freedom to live your life, freedom from executive order and COVID lockdowns and that kind of thing? But you also have very few social rights if you are not a cisgendered person, right? So that also is very chilling.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts on this. And we want to remind all of you to subscribe to the channel. So if you subscribe, I think your name pops up here on the big
screen. I've seen a few. I'm sorry that I miss them sometimes during the show because I've been in my notes
and
that kind of thing. But I did catch a few, and I want to say I appreciate it.
Let's see who's going to be a subscriber. It should pop up here on the screen. I think is how it works, right, Philip? They become a channel member or they become a subscriber.
We can't rewind the clock.
Or a super chat.
Okay.
Or a super chat will pop up there as well.
So we do have some super chats to get to. We do have some super chats. My text messages are, super chats and subs and subscribers. Super chats and subscribers up there on the big board. So we got some super chats. I do want to remind all of you to subscribe to the channel. All you have to do is just hit the little subscribe button and then turn on the little bell notification because we're live here every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We do this show. I'm trying to bring you the news that you're not going to see other places. The name for this show, someone said, where'd you come up with the name for this show? I said, there was like three stories that we were doing back in the spring of this year when we were thinking about the new name and what we're going to do for the show. And three of the stories that we were covering had redacted information. We couldn't cover it, like from the pharmaceutical companies. Then we had another UFO story from the government that had it was all blacked out and redacted. So that's where the name of the show came from.
We're interested in the things we're not supposed to see.
Right. The stuff that they're hiding from us.
And a little cameo note, if you watch our 30-minute like countdown pre-show, those redacted documents are all in there. They're still redacted.
And they're actual redacted documents in our show.
Yes, I actually went through all of them. Yep, the Mueller report, all of the Pfizer stuff, it's all on there.
That's hilarious.
I spent a lot of time going through redacted documents, reading practically nothing.
Grape Soda says, thank you guys. I appreciate what redacted does. Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Meepak.
Wow, you missed it.
You missed it.
No, I saw it. We
both missed it.
There it is.
Acme Rockets. Acme Rockets. Thank you. Welcome to our new subscribers.
Acme Rockets 1.
Acme Rockets 1. All right.
Acme was taken, I guess.
Any super chats you want to throw up here on the screen?
Well, I can't throw them up on the screen right now, I don't think, but I can just read them off.
Okay.
So we've got Captain Steve had, what's the difference between a conspiracy theory and truth? About 6 months. And that's not a joke.
That's not a joke. That's the truth. Yep.
The Iranian Putin, it took much less for the U.S. to bomb Iraq.
Oh, this was talking about the land war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took nothing, actually. Took nothing. There was nothing there for us to bomb Iraq. Yeah, you're right about that.
It took a little bit of misdirection and a lot of the military industrial complex.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, and then the Iranian Putin again. Chip Roy and Rand Paul should be our president VP.
Chip Roy, that's right. Yeah, I'd like to get Chip Roy on the show. Let's make that happen. I'd like to get Chip Roy on the show.
Yeah. Joshua, tell me why the U.S. government is better at screwing me than any of my exes.
Gilbert.
I'm sure.
Oh. Gilbert.
Okay. I can't give you a... I'm kicking you because they're super chats.
You read them off then.
Okay. I'm trying. I don't mean to...
Stepping all over Philip.
Andrew. Okay, sorry, Philip.
I would argue to Joshua that the U.S. is better at that than any of her exes because the U.S. has had a lot more experience. They've been around for a long time. They're very, very good at screwing people.
Yeah.
That's right.
Iranian Putin again. Iranians will decide if we get nukes, not Texas. If we gain nukes, not Texas.
Because it's in the Texas manifesto that Iran should not.
I love that.
Yeah.
They're like, we got all this Texas stuff, and let's put Iran in there.
Also, we stand against these things. It also said that they wanted to unambiguously acknowledge Taiwan as a sovereign nation. Like, none of this ambiguous policy anymore. Taiwan, you exist.
That's funny. Is there anything in there about forcing Canada to reduce the price of poutine? Or is that they just not think of that?
No, they didn't get there.
Poutine.
That's in version two.
Someone said, Clayton, get Bernie Sanders on the show. Yeah, I'd love to have Bernie on the show. We're open. We're open for him. I'd love to have any of these guys on the show, any of these politicians.
And then we've got Beyond 280, call a convention of the states or we secede.
Okay.
I'm guessing by we, maybe he's in Texas or they are in Texas.
Perhaps, yeah.
Brizzy 864, great work on this channel. You read that one already, I think.
Thank you so much.
Event Simonis, it's purely the left that's doing the hiding. The right does not bear any responsibility. That's
hiding of what?
Doing the hiding. I don't know.
Okay. But
I would argue anytime an argument is being made that your side is pure and the other side is evil, you've missed a few steps.
Yeah, that's usually not our experience, that it's just one side, but I appreciate that you feel that.
Gorgon Zola, please have journalist Hermela Aregawi on to discuss Ethiopia conflict. She can correct the narrative U.S. backed the TPLF for decades and still does.
Mm. Okay, can you, what is the name again? Do you know?
We'll get it afterwards.
It is okay. Hermela. I'll make sure I copy it. And that is all. William Sanford sent a $20 super chat, but didn't say anything. So,
well, thank you so much for your support. And if you'd like to support independent journalism and what we do here on the channel, it's very easy for free. You can just go over to redacted.inc. That's our channel. That's our website. It's our locals community. It's like our version of Patreon, except we do exclusive content. We post over there. We post videos a few days early, like big interviews. We've got a big interview with Scott Ritter, former UN weapons inspector, who has a lot to say about what's going on in Ukraine. We sat down with him for a really in-depth interview. That's going to be posted early to our redacted community before it goes out publicly. So again, it's free to come on over there and become a member. And then if you'd like to support us, you can for like the cost of like a cup of coffee once a month. We're not run by billionaires. We don't take money from CNN or whomever.
Diaper company.
Pfizer. We're not brought to you by Pfizer.
We're not.
We're not brought like Anderson Cooper. Brought to you by Pfizer. Brought to you by Northrop Grumman. Brought to you by weapons contractors. We are not, we are brought to you by you. So if you're able to support what we do here, then we can continue to do this show.
Yes. Well, thank you for joining us. We will see you here tomorrow, same time. Remember to subscribe to our newsletter. It's morninginvest.com. And we will see you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.